For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Together, Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our scripture for this morning to look at is found on page 8. It's also on the overhead, the outline on page 9. Hear then what God Himself says in His holy word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. In verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then from Hebrews, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets and in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. I don't think I will ever cease to be amazed at moms, especially moms with young children. They have the uncanny ability to hear their children in the din of 10, 15 kids playing and screaming and yelling and having the time of their life. They can do that and hear their child while in the midst of a conversation with the ability to discern if their child's crying is out of anger or manipulation, or if their child is truly hurt and needs some help. Isn't that true? Amazing. They reflect the image of God in their abilities to hear. Children, it takes a little longer to learn. I know, maybe it's a gender thing, I don't know, but I know as a guy, I was slow. I knew my mother's voice, that's for sure, and found comfort from her. But I was slow to hear. And I think that's true for guys. I remember in gymnastics, for me, I had a coach who was teaching me how to do my gymnastics, you know, with the appropriate expertise. And I was learning to do handstands. And I was standing on my hands with my coach holding my feet. And I was all arched and looking around, and he kept telling me, put your head down, put your head down, put your head down. I had no idea what he was saying until he took his foot and from the side just kind of kicked my head at the same time and said, put your head down. And I was like, oh, he wants me to put my head down. I found training my dog to be somewhat like that. We have a dog named we have a dog named Lucy. She'll be 3 in February, and while I'm not a serious dog trainer, I do enjoy teaching her sit and stay and heel and things like that. And in that first year, in the home, she could hear my voice and come to me just like that. But on the walk, she would easily be distracted, and being one who has always enjoyed my freedom, I want that for my dog, so I wanted to train her to be able to run around the park without me. And so from the earliest times, she's been off the leash and taught to heel and come and all that sort of stuff. Well, she was great unless there was another dog around. And then it didn't matter. She just, I'm convinced, could not hear my voice whatsoever. And the only thing that was different is she was focused on something else. You know, spiritually, I think we are like little kids and puppy dogs. We don't hear so well. Jesus in his day put it a little differently. He said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me and they hear my voice. And I think part of the Christian life is learning to hear the voice of God, learning to hear through the din of all the other noises, through the distractions of all the things that capture our attention. This morning, we won't be looking so much at how to listen to God, although that is the application, but more to the fact that God is speaking. God has spoken, and he's still speaking. And we really do need to train our ear to hear him. So that's what we're looking at this morning. The first point is this: God has always been a communicating God. God has always been a communicating God. In the beginning was the Word. That's how John starts his gospel. In the beginning, it takes us back, doesn't it? He's using the words from the first book of the Bible, from the book of Genesis that begins, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And if we were to go back there, it wouldn't take us long to see that God spoke things into creation. He's a communicating God, and he would say things like, let there be light. And there was light. He was communicating. He was speaking, and it happened the way he said. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning one day. Then God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the earth, and so on and so forth. And it was so. Our God is a communicating God. When God went to make us, humanity, God spoke to himself first and said, let us make man in our own image. And having created us, he spoke to us immediately. But the very fact that God spoke to himself, let us make man in our own image, I don't believe that was the first time he spoke to himself. The Bible teaches that God is three persons in one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that they have lived in glory for all eternity before creation and were in union and communion with each other. Our God is a communicating God, and so he spoke. And when John wrote his gospel about our Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't begin, in the beginning was the Savior of the world. In the beginning was the Messiah for God's elect. He starts, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, there's two words in the Greek for the word. We'll get past this awkward thing with word before too long. There's two words. The one that is used here is the word logos. We get the word logic. And some of the commentators will talk about the fact that it could be, in the beginning was the reason, the idea, the thinking, and such. And I don't think so here. I think they've translated it right. In the beginning was the Word. It's used more than two-thirds of the time for word, words, communication, that idea. And the fact that the word also means reason or logic only means that when God speaks, it's not gibberish. It's rational, reasonable, logical, true. Our God has always been a communicating God. Point number two is simple. God spoke many times and in different ways. This is clear from Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, on the text goes. We saw this morning some of those ways, some of those portions. The heavens declare the glory of God. That may not have come through the prophets, but it is still the communication of God, isn't it? They pour forth speech day after day. But God has spoken in so many different ways. He's given us the scriptures themselves, the law of the Lord, which is perfect in reviving the soul, the statutes of the Lord, which are trustworthy, making wise the simple, and so on. In many portions and in many ways. You know, some 3,000 plus times it says something to the effect of thus says the Lord, or truly, truly, I say to you, or the word of the Lord came to me. And we have all sorts of different ways, right? From the burning bush and the voice of God directly to Moses. Moses, Moses, take off your shoes from upon your feet, for the ground upon which you are standing is holy ground. To God thundering on Mount Sinai, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. He's spoken to the prophets in their dreams, verbally, through the Urim and Thummim. Forgive my lack of Hebrew pronunciation. In many ways, in fact, there's an interesting verse when God was silent. It happened to King Saul. Samuel, the prophet, was dead, and Saul had removed all the spiritists and mediums and all that religious false fiddle faddle. He got rid of it. Real legalist he was, a real hypocrite, real outside of the word of God. He kept the letters. He got rid of the riffraff. But then in time of need, when the voice of God was quiet, he called for the witch of Endor. It tells us in 1 Samuel 28:6, when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him either by dreams or by Urim or by prophets. God has spoken in many portions and in many ways. He's spoken to us in Christ Jesus, right? And even Jesus, you remember, was questioned by his disciples. They said, why do you speak to them in parables, that is, to the multitudes? And Jesus answered, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see. And like my puppy, while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Scary, isn't it? He speaks, he speaks, he speaks. He's a communicating God. And yet sometimes he holds himself aloof from hypocrites and legalists and those who only make a show of religion like Saul. And to the multitudes who want to come and hear him, he'll speak. He'll speak in such a way that if they work at it, if they seek him, if they think about what he says, there's something there, something profound, but otherwise not. And yet sometimes with absolute clarity in John 16, think about where that is, if you know your Bibles at all, John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 is all this, time from the washing of the disciples' feet at the beginning of that last Passover meal to the great high priestly prayer of Jesus. So John 16, that's in that area where he's telling them what is to come. And at one point his disciples say in verse 29, lo, now you are speaking plainly and are not using a figure of speech. God is a communicating God. He speaks to us. He speaks to us. He wants us to hear. Oh, he will not make it easy. He is not a microwave God where you add water and stir. Just tell me what to do, Lord. Don't bother me with the relationship. No, he's not that way at all. But he speaks. Do you hear him? Speaks in many ways. He speaks through the preaching of his word. Do you hear him? In many portions and in many ways, I think of the scriptures in particular, there are historical narrative, poetry, proverbs, wisdom literature, apocalyptic writing, parabolic and prophetic writing, all sorts of different ways that God speaks. And I tell you, he did not speak that way to impoverish us, but to enrich us. There is a requirement for us to hear what he is saying. But it is for our good. We need to listen. He's a communicating God, and He has spoken to us from the beginning, from our very creation. He speaks in so many different ways. He communicates in ways that cover all of us in one way or another. He speaks, and He speaks, and He speaks. Number three, God speaks to us in His Son, Jesus. That's just amazing, isn't it? God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. He has spoken to us in the Son. He sent the prophets. He sent many servants. He spoke to the patriarchs, through Moses, so many different ways. In the last days, ultimately, He sent His Son. That's a communicating God. He sent His Son. He came to the earth in the form of a man, in Christ Jesus. And He spoke. That should amaze us. He has spoken to us in the Son. Remember, there's been a Psalm 19 flowing through the service. We've used parts of it. We've used most of it. We will finish up, the Lord willing, I'll remember after the sermon and after I pray to call us to that last verse of the Psalm. But think about it. When it begins speaking about the Word of God, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple." Now, if we just listen, if you didn't know that this Psalm 19 was about God's revelation and that this section was about the Word of God, what would you think if you heard something described as perfect, trustworthy, right, radiant, pure, sure, righteous altogether, more valuable than gold, sweeter than honey? What is that describing? Well, it's describing God. It's describing our Lord Jesus, through whom God speaks. Think about that. That's just amazing. What's the whole Bible about? If you could sum it up, how would you sum it up? I may have given you this before. It's from my devotions when I was studying in my private devotions, Hebrews. So if it's redundant, I don't apologize to say these things again, or no trouble to me, and it's a safeguard for you. Well, the Bible is the history of redemption. Doesn't that sum it up pretty well? The Bible is the history of redemption. I'll fill it in a little more. God, through Jesus Christ, is redeeming a people to Himself. All the Bible is about that. A little bit bigger. The triune God who created all things, including man, whom He made in His own image, is reconciling men to Himself through Jesus Christ. Redemption and reconciliation is needed because man fell into sin and became corrupt and offensive to God. He must save us. And so His words, the words of our Lord, are words about salvation, about redemption, about reconciliation with God. God speaking to us. This should blow our minds. Hebrews goes on. It tells us eight things that are true about Jesus. I've paraphrased it only a little bit. God appointed Him heir of all things. God made the world through Him. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. Jesus is the exact representation of God's nature. Jesus upholds all things by the word of His power. Jesus made purification for sins. Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus, as a man, has become as much better than the angels because Jesus has inherited a more excellent name than they. There's a ton of theology in that. Enough to scramble our minds, take us beyond what we're able to understand. And so I won't scramble our minds. I won't take us there today. But think about it. As if it were not enough for the heavens to declare the glory of God. As if it were not enough that he gave Moses and the patriarchs. As if it were not enough that he sent the prophets, creatures whom he has made. God himself in the person of Christ Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth, calling us to know him, to love him, to return to him glory. Think about Jesus in the Gospels. You know, as I thought about that a little bit today, I was impressed that so often in our day, we talk about all the good things God does for us. And we talk about the gospel. I do this all the time. All the good things that God does for us. He forgives us. He makes us in his image. He speaks to us. He forgives. He makes us righteous through the righteousness of Christ. He adopts us as his daughters and sons. He sends his Holy Spirit. He reveals his will and his plan into the future, into eternity. He causes all things to work together for good to those who love him. All about us, isn't it? The gospel. And yet, when I think about the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm impressed that it's consistent with what we studied in prayer, that he taught us a lot about what does it mean to hallow God's name, to seek his kingdom and be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth. He taught a lot about what it means to do his will, and that's what life is all about, that the chief end of man is to glorify God. So why is it we can sum up the gospel with all these things he has done for us as though it was all about us? Well, wouldn't you say that in the communication of God through Jesus Christ to us, that God, forgive me for slipping into John Piper, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. That our greatest joy, our greatest happiness, our soul's satisfaction is not in food, is not in sex, is not in our husband-wife relationship or with our children or who any boyfriend, girlfriend, or any of that. Our greatest satisfaction and soul's desire is found in him. In his glory, his majesty, his beauty, his holiness. And our hearts will be restless until we learn to listen and find our rest in him. God is a communicating God. He's always been that way. No wonder we talk so much. He's spoken in so many different ways, so many different times. He sent his son, and he speaks most clearly through the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's one more thing you need to hear. God speaks to us in his son Jesus. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his son. Do you hear his voice? Shh. Do you hear his voice? Listen. He's spoken. We have it right here. Isn't that amazing? Brian Chappell used a illustration in a sermon he preached, I think it was in 2009, at the Gospel Coalition conference. I think that's where I heard it. And he used an illustration that I'm just going to lift right from his sermon and use. He talks about a friend of his who's a youth pastor who wanted to get across the idea that God's word is inspired, and it's for us. When we read the scriptures, when we hear the scriptures preached, we should hear the voice of God. And this youth pastor, this was his plan. That, you know, there's a youth meeting at someone's home, and the basement was set up with chairs in a circle, and a chair in the center of the circle, and on each of the chairs in the circumference in the circle, there was a Bible verse on a piece of paper, I would imagine. It was on each chair, and the youth pastor told the kids, okay, we're going down to the basement now, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to each take a chair in the circle, and what we'll do is we'll take one person, and we're going to sit them in the center, and we're going to blindfold them, and we're going to ask that person, what's a problem that you're having right now in your life? And then, because you're blindfolded, what will happen is someone will read the Bible verse that's on their chair if it applies to your situation. And what we want you to see, or not see, I guess, what we want you to hear is the voice of God, that this is the word of God and he's speaking to your situation. And Brian Chappell says that the youth pastor thought this was a great idea for communicating the fact that the word of God is God-breathed. It's for us. It's inspired. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. But the youth thought it was a stupid idea. they didn't want to do it. But he got them into the circle, and, you know, they were uncomfortable, and he couldn't get anyone to take the center seat and then really say something important. You know, it was all the kids just were not into this, and it wasn't going well at all. And the greatest thing was, you know, problem that surfaced was how to get an A on Mrs. Bailey's math test. And Brian Chappell said, there's not really a good Bible verse for that. I'm sure there is, but not on the spot, not on those chairs. But there was a woman, a young girl. She was there for the first time. And she said, I'll sit in the chair. They put the blindfold on her. And she said, I am so miserable. I don't think I can stand another day. Well, the kids were embarrassed. Some looked down on the ground or at their shoes, and one of them looked at the Bible verse in their lap. And the Bible verse said, but I am faithful. I will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape that you can stand under it. She said, nobody cares about me. Someone else read, but I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have called you by name with loving kindness. Enraged, she said, you do not understand. My parents kicked me out last night. They said, never come back. And someone read, but I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I took the blindfold off of her. She was crying. She said, why doesn't God talk to me like that? The youth pastor said, sweetie, he does. That was him. God has spoken to us in his son. He knows all of our struggles. All our pains, all our sorrows, all our grief. And he speaks. Sometimes words of comfort, sometimes words of correction. But he always speaks. And he always speaks to it in such a way that while it may seem like the worst chemo treatment ever, where you lose your hair and you're throwing up all the time, It is to the chief end for which you were created, that you would find your soul's satisfaction in Him. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I'm mindful of the teaching of our Lord about the rich man, Lazarus, how the man wanted to come back from the dead or have Lazarus come back from the dead and warn the living. And you said, they have Moses and the prophets. Oh, but they won't listen to them. And you, oh Lord Jesus, said, if they won't listen to them, they won't listen even if God raised someone from the dead. Hearts are hard. The voices, science, sociology, of teachers and entertainers and politicians, Lord, the voices, grant us the skill of that mother who hears through it all the child that she loves. Oh, Lord, you have spoken. Make us listen. Amen. Let's respond to this time before God together using these words. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.